Well, good morning and welcome to Bethel on this Wednesday, the 13th of May. Another week or two to go yet of social distancing and lockdown. Please do pray for a patriot's heart and a servant's heart for everybody, because we are going to need to lean upon each other whenever this is all done. But especially, as the Word of God says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Definitely words to live by in these days. We're going to begin with a little word of prayer, and then we will take our hymn books and turn to 261, where it tells us to turn again our eyes upon Jesus. Let's pray. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. And thank you, Lord, for life and health and strength. Lord, for reasonable weather. Lord, we're just not seeing the sun blaze through the windows today, but that's okay. Because, Lord, we have your sun. And even when the sun isn't shining outside, we know we can have your sun shining on the inside. Please bless us, each and every one, Father, as we listen to your word preached and take part in lifting up our praises and bringing our prayer requests and petitions before you, for ourselves and for others, for our country. Just want to, Lord, pray for every soul that has clicked on the website or the Facebook group or has spun up the CD with the service on it. And I pray you, Father, for your good hand upon each and every one of us. For Monica and myself, for Ling and Frank and Dr. Shang, for Will, for John, and we do remember as well Christine and Mary Ann, for William and Rachel, for Lillian and Reggie and that whole connection. Remember too Lord Leonard, and pray you for your good hand upon him at this time. Pray he's still well. For Rita, and for Elaine and Hillary, they do sterling work looking after their mum. Please, Lord, save souls. Remember too Esther, Lord, and pray you for your good hand upon her, for comfort and strength, for even a wee taste of grace and healing as well. And I know, Lord, her family is much upon her heart at this time. Please save their souls. Remember too, Father, Christy, for Taylor as well, for her dad, for his salvation, and for her mom too. And Lord, I pray you please that you would bless all those that bless and honour you and your people. And Lord, that you would withstand all those that don't. We remember as well Brother Norman. Pray you for him as well. Just bless and keep him, Lord, and strengthen him. For Pat and Steve, Lord, I pray your good hand upon them as well. For healing as well, Lord, as grace and a reconnection with family members and a salvation for family members. And remember too Carol and her aches and pains and John as well. And I pray you, Lord, for a blessing upon that house. For Stephen too, Lord, please help that young fellow. And remember as well, Lord, Noel and Joan and Norman. And we pray too for Terence McLaughlin, Lord, for Jane and Corey. I pray you, Lord, for your good hand upon Carol and Marie and Harry. I pray you, Lord, for Stephen and Anne Marie, for Henry and Evelyn, and especially for their wee grandson Isaac, Lord. Pray you too, Father, for Sammy and Kate, for Sally. And Lord, we're not forgetting Alan Leslie and Pearl Hetherington, and my dad, and Maslam and Georgina Fleckner, and salvation for their two sons, Lord. I pray as well, Lord, for Brother Stan. I know he's listening along the line somewhere. And for your good hand upon his family, for Stuart and Jennifer and Hannah too, and Stuart and Iona, for Karen, for Jade, especially at this time. For Mark and Jeremiah, for Samuel and Faith. And Lord, if we were to go on calling names, we'd be here all morning. But please, I pray you, Lord, save souls. I pray you, Lord, for wisdom for each and every one of us. I pray you, Father, please, for our country, countries, and the leaders of them, Lord. Again, I pray you give them wisdom. And bless and keep those that honour and bless Israel, Lord, and withstand those that don't. But in the meantime, Father, we pray that you'd be one of our number at the service. We might not be all gathered together in the same place at the same time, but we're all gathered together to listen and praise and pray and thank, be thankful. And we're just looking forward to it, Father. Please be our leader and guide at this time. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Going to sing 261. 261 is Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Bible reading this morning. This one this morning is from Joel 2. Brother Steve sent me this suggestion for our Bible reading, and I pray that it will be, excuse me, a good help to you this morning. Joel 2. And you know the score by now, I hope. If you're singing along and searching your Bible and looking up the hymns, don't be afraid to just press the pause button whenever you need to. And don't forget to press the play button again whenever you're ready. And again, take advantage and enjoy the fact that I can be shut up for this little period of time by clicking a button on a computer. It's going to be one of those very rare opportunities. Joel chapter 2. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, nothing shall escape them. Excuse me. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, and the noise of the flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained, all faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men, they shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one on his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city, they shall climb upon the wall, they shall climb up upon the houses, they shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. And rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders. Gather the children and those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part towards the utmost sea. And his stink shall come up, and his ill savour shall come up, because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain, in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Amen. Thank you for that. We appreciate the Bible reading. We're just going to take a moment or two now to remind you of any special prayer requests. Do we have any special prayer requests? We're obviously remembering the Gilbert family at this time, and the Quigley family. And we're thinking also on Norman and Carol and John and Stephen. It's just the year anniversary of, just past the year anniversary of John McMahon stepping off into eternity. Cousins family as well. Are they based up in somewhere in Northern Ireland? They're in the Kilkeel area. They're connected to folks that were very, very good, very good friends of Monica's and have been over the years. Was only 43 and passed away there just last week, leaving, goodness, quite a young family behind him. So please do pray for the cousins' family. A number of years ago, there was a good friend of mine, Dennis Bond, school friend that after college, after I was what, that would be about 17 or 18, never quite caught up with him again because I was in Belfast and Newcastle. And I found out that he got saved. But sadly, I found out that he got saved around about the time I found out about it. Just before he passed away. No, just after he passed away. And he left a young family behind him as well. So that's years ago. I am sure they still miss husband and dad. Please do pray for the cousins' family, Gilbert family, for Norman's family, for Carol's family, and the Quigley family, if you would, at this time. Amen. We need to pray for each other as well. Don't forget our missions outreaches, because regardless of what's happening around the world, everybody's in the same boat. We have our Kids for Schools outreach, and we have Open Doors that we pray for. And there's another one that I can't remember, but there's the Christian Institute as well. And don't forget these people. And, you know, we do collect for missions. And I pray you are putting your tithe to one side. But if you, the Lord has put it upon your heart to support any of these missions outreaches, please do put it aside into a wee jam jar or an envelope, because just like everybody else, these organizations need to keep operating. And a lot of people think just because they're not a church that the church stops and doesn't, and the pastor doesn't eat, and these organizations still don't have bills to pay, but they do. So please do remember these things. We are quite limited at the moment in what we can do, but the Lord knows exactly what we can do. And even when we can't go across the world, our thoughts and prayers still can, and to a certain extent, a certain amount of our power can finance for God's service. So please do remember that. We're thinking about all the folks in the church whose names were mentioned at the beginning of the church. Want for us all to consider our private prayer requests. You might be thinking, well, how am I going to get an answer to private prayer requests whenever no one ever gets to hear about them? All the names were mentioned at the beginning of the church, and anybody that is a Christian, I am sure they have private prayer requests. So just call their name out whenever you're listing the private prayer requests. And don't forget to be thankful for God too. He has seen us through all of this. He's not a half a job God. He does a full salvation, and when he talks about an abundant life, he doesn't mean half an abundant life. You just keep your eyes upon him and do what he tells you to do whenever he asks you to, tells you to do it. The Bible says everything will work out for the best and you will not regret it. So please do remember that. I have a few other churches and preachers, and I would just like to remember Black Creek over there in America. Monica's mom and dad go, and Pastor Asquith looks after all the folks there. Please do pray for them. That's where Ed Gilbert lives, and he has just lost his wife and his children, their mother and grandchildren, a granny. And of course, the whole of Black Creek has lost a dear sister in Christ. So please do pray for them. And do pray for the Haynes as well. For Brother Stan up in Bangor. For Brother Ed and Joan Bissett up there in Temple Patrick. I've got a list of names for the Foxes. Please do pray for them. For the Isaacsons. For the Smiths and the Snodes. For the Randalls, all these people need prayed for. Pray for their families as well. The devil takes great delight in attacking preachers' families. And please do remember Julian Patterson, Ian Brown, Johnny Campbell, Johnny Crane, and always remember his wee sister Sarah. Please do pray for her as well. I think that's about that. I know there's a bunch more people out in the world serving the Lord, like Francis Cosgrave, and don't forget Brother Forrest, he's just not doing so well right now, but please do pray for all of these souls. There are many that are caught in countries like North Korea, South Korea, Russia and China, where the true gospel is suppressed and people are fed a bunch of hooey for their whole lives and end up believing it. Please do pray for your brothers and sisters everywhere. It's interesting to note that we are humbled whenever these things that we normally see on TV happen to us. Just remember, we don't know what's going to come tomorrow, but we do know the man that has tomorrow in the palm of his hand. And he's the one we need to be looking out to and keeping our eyes upon and trusting. So that's us. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we will attempt to cough our way through another song for you. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this new day. Again, for the little bit of time that we've been able to spend in your presence so far. Thankful, Lord, that there's no limit in coming before you in prayer as well. And it just seems like there's no limit on the need that we all have. Father, please, I pray, answer our prayer requests this day. Please, Lord, grant them according to your will. And the one thing we didn't mention was the people working in the hospitals. I'm sure it's an uncertain time. The only folks whose names I can remember is Dr. Doherty, Mr. Marzouk, Mr. Goodwani, Andrea, Emma, and Gemma, and Matthew, and Susan, Lord. You know who those souls are, and they only represent a tiny fraction of the people that are working to keep people from slipping off into an eternity, many times without Christ. Please, Lord, I pray, protect those that are out there putting their lives on the line to save other people's lives. Whether they're wearing green or blue or white, whether they're wearing body armor or fireproof
fireproof clothing. Lord, please protect those that put their lives on the line. Just thank you for loving us and watching over us. Please put your good hand upon the rulers of the countries of our world. And please bless and protect Israel, Lord. I pray you, Lord, for a cure. And Lord, for this coronavirus and for many others. But I pray most importantly that your will would be done. I want to thank you again, Lord, for putting it upon Stephen's heart to cut the grass. I am truly humbled by his generosity and his kindness. Please, Lord, bless them for it. I ask all this, Lord, and we thank you. We will never be able to thank you enough, but we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. And we ask it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's take our hymn books again. And we sang Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. This time we are going to sing 293. 293 is Your All on the Altar. This might be a new one for you. You're more than welcome to sing it once through and then rewind and sing it again until you get it. 293 is Your All on the Altar.
Right.
finding our closing hymn, and I am opening my Bible this morning, and I hope that you are too. Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. On this, the 13th of May, it's our Wednesday morning, and the Lord has blessed us with a little bit of sunshine coming through the windows. He also blessed us with a little bit of rain on the way to church. But you know what? We're in church. We have a roof over our heads. The weather's kept out. And we're doing rightly. We're doing rightly. I want to take a little bit of time this morning and spend it upon the subject of sins, Jekyll and Hyde. In other words, the Jekyll and Hyde of sin. We're beginning at verse number 1 in Genesis chapter 19. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet. And ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they entered in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door, and said unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides, son-in-laws, and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in this city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up! Get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the man laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, O, not so, my Lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast shown unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. O, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar, which actually means little or smallness. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain, and behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham, and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. Amen. Amen. There's one other verse that really sums up the attitudes of the men of Gomorrah and Sodom. Was in Genesis 13:13, where it says, But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Amen. Let's have another word of prayer and then we'll continue. Thank you again for this time, Father. I pray you please for the words to say and for soft hearts where your word will find a place to stay. Please, Lord, take and use this time to teach us, to edify us, to make us wise and remind us just how sneaky that sin and even sinners, even lost souls can be. Please save lost souls, Lord. We want the streets of heaven populated with millions upon millions, if we great to be billions of souls, Lord. But Father, you know. Love you and thank you. Please, Lord, help us at this time and bless any soul that stands up to preach the full counsel of your word, Lord. Love you and thank you. Amen. Right. The Jekyll and Hyde of sin comes from a book that was written many years ago by a fellow by the name of Robert Louis Stevenson. I think he had something to do with steam engines back in the day, but I'm not sure about that. He is famous for something, but today he's famous for being the author of The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And this story has such a profound effect upon our society that the terms Jekyll and Hyde are synonymous with someone whose attitude would change on a dime. It's about a mild-mannered doctor who, upon taking a potion, became this monstrous creature, Mr. Hyde, almost completely a different man with no inhibitions whatsoever and a great propensity, I like that word, a great propensity or leaning towards violence and drunkenness and all manner of immorality. And I got to thinking as I was reading just these handful of verses. Verse number 9 being our text this morning. I got to thinking about how sin behaves in pretty much exactly the same way. Hence the title, The Jekyll, the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde of Sin. This portion of God's word is not liked by very many, and sadly there are not as many churches preaching on this portion of God's word as there should be. You may have noticed the names of the place of Sodom and Gomorrah, places that were so wicked, again they have slipped into the popular modern use of being, what's the word? It's not a synonym, but being descriptions of places that are really, really, really wicked. Amsterdam springs to mind with all the drugs and prostitution and who knows what else comes to mind and might well be termed a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah. But this is, and again, that is why sodomite is one of the terms that is used to refer to a man that has left, in the words of the Bible, a natural use of the woman and burns in his lust towards other men. It's homosexual relationships. We're reading, this is pretty much the final act in the Lot and the Abraham story. Whenever Abraham was called out of his homeland by God, he took his nephew Lot with him. And you know what? God blessed them. Because they obeyed him, he blessed them, and he blessed them, and he blessed them, and they had tons of stuff. They had huge herds, and there were many, many, many men having families that belonged to Abraham that he was responsible for. And it got to the point that God blessed them so much that sometimes Lot's herdsmen and Abram's herdsmen were actually quarreling over grass and water to feed their herds. They were that great. And so in order for there to be no bad feeling between the two, Abraham said to Lot, look, we can't dwell together because God has just blessed us far too much. We're going to have to spread out a bit. I tell you what, you pick where you want to live and I'll go the other way. And so Lot looked up and he saw Sodom and Gomorrah and the lands around them, and he thought, you know what, that looks like the place to live. And he went and lived near Sodom and Gomorrah. And I am sure that he lived outside of Sodom and Gomorrah for a while, for years maybe. And he would obviously have gone into the town for various bits and pieces, who knows, for pots and pans, maybe a fresh microwave or widescreen TV or the equivalent of in the day, maybe some bolts of material and some foods that they didn't have. I'm sure they went in and bought stuff. And the problem is, whenever you go out into the world and you don't mind what you don't mind, you're not careful of what you look upon and what you listen to and what you indulge in, it can creep its way into you, and it can leave a liking or a lust for a thing. And this is obviously what happened, because instead of living in his tents in the wilderness with his herdsmen and all of that stuff around and about him, he was enticed into living in the city. The word of God says in our text, and these are the words of the men of Sodom and Gomorrah, and they said, this one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. In other words, even the wicked men of Sodom and Gomorrah recognized an honest man, and even a godly man. And they were more than happy to have someone to sit up and arbitrate or make the judgments between who was right and who was wrong when it came to land disputes and divorces and maybe even making the laws as regards who the land passed down to generationally and so on and so forth. And he lived there long enough to have, I am sure, at least three daughters and sons that were married, although I think it's daughters just. And getting married was a big thing. I'm sure Abraham knew that he had at least three of his children were married, and two of them were living at home, and of course there was Lot and his wife. Because that's why Abraham bargained the Lord down to 10 righteous people. Surely if I knew Lot and he was living for God and God was blessing him and he has two daughters at home and there's his wife, that's four, and he has three children married and they were blessed by God and I'm sure they were saved and they got married, and I am sure Lot made sure they got saved, got married to saved men or saved people. That's 10. Easy. It's an easy fix. It's an easy save. Unfortunately, it didn't work that way, and those that were married, the sons-in-law thought that Lot was taking a hand out of them, that he was joking with them. I am sure they heard Lot speak about judgment of the Lord, and it had happened many times in the history of man, even at this early point in man's history. But they thought he was joking. Now, I am sure whenever Lot came into the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, that the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, when they saw this man come in, and they saw him come in with all of his herds and all of his riches and all of his servants, they clapped their hands because they thought, we'll have it all. Before very long, we will have it all. We will make him a friend. He seems to be pretty honest. Why don't we just make him a judge? But we'll not give him any real power. But we'll have him sit in the gate. And soon we will have it all. Sure enough, as time goes on, we see three daughters gone. The very end of our portion of God's word that we were reading this morning, we see that even his wife's heart was fixed upon Sodom and Gomorrah, because she turned into a pillar of salt. She headed back in that direction again and was turned into a pillar of salt. All his herds and all his herdsmen destroyed, gone. Even his home that he had purchased in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, gone. The only thing that survived was Lot and his two daughters. And everything so mixed up with sin, that was the only thing. Those three people were the only things that could be extricated before judgment fell upon Sodom. I am sure we're not going to dwell on the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, but whenever we speak of Sodom and Gomorrah, we're talking about gross sexual sin, child abuse, homosexuality, lesbianism, and I am sure a few things that we couldn't even think about or would make you ill to consider. But the Word of God says the men of Sodom were sinners before the Lord exceedingly, and the cries had come up before him. It certainly wasn't the other people indulging themselves. I believe it was the cries of the children that were being abused that came up before the Lord, because the Bible says their angels do always behold the face of their father. They were so wicked. When these two handsome, perfect looking men came to the city that Lot spotted straight away and knew who they were, they wanted them. The whole city, word got around about these two handsome young men coming into the city, and they wanted them. The Word of God says, bring them out, the people of Sodom cried, that we may know them. It wasn't the sin of inhospitality that we are talking about. That's talking about knowing them in the biblical sense, because Lot was so far gone, he was even going to offer his own daughters. And if someone came to my house like that, I would grab the heaviest or sharpest things on me, and I would start working my way through the crowd. Lot was so far gone. He had lost so much. And this is the way sin works. This is the way the agents of sin operate. They cry out for toleration. They cry out for patience. They cry out for us to work together. They say we are friendly. We are helpful. We love everybody. And we get along with everybody. And that's the truth as far as it goes. They beg and plead and promise and will be a good neighbour and a good friend. But deep down inside, there is a plan afoot to deceive you and to make merchandise of you, to rob you blind of all of your blessings. The rest of that statement is, we're friendly, we love everybody, we're good neighbors and we're good friends and we get along with everyone as long as we are in the minority, as long as we are powerless. This is the way we behave. But as sure as shooting, as soon as they're in the majority, that's a different story. All this time, and it is a spiritual thing, sin is scheming how to steal everything from you. Look at poor Lot, one of the two richest men in the world, so rich in fact and so blessed with enough men to mount an army to go after, I think it was the king of Syria that had sacked Sodom and Gomorrah, and they beat them and took everything back off them again. And yet Lot lost it all. And for the likes of you and me, today, sin hasn't changed a bit, it hasn't changed its tactics a bit. It wants you, and it wants your time, and it wants your money and your health, your mind, your virtue, your integrity, your testimony, your family, your neighbors, your name. And it will steal them all right out from under your nose with all the wool that it pulls over your eyes. You won't even see it. You may even thank them for it. And everything will be hunky-dory as long as you get, as long as you play along, as long as you are a good puppy, as long as you wag your tail when sin pats your head. But do you see whenever you decide enough is enough? Do you see whenever your eyes are opened a little for the first time in maybe a long time and you stand up and you say no? You will find that every pretense of tolerance and friendship and support and glory is gone. They were only ever there in your compromise, and they were only ever there as a substitute for your walk with God. Lot found that out. He was a judge in the city. He was an important man in the city. He sat in the gate. But as soon as he stood and said, no, you are not going to put your hands upon these men of God, the writing was on the wall for him. He was done. Yes, your life may even be under threat. Lot's definitely was. And there are many souls in the world today that have found that standing for Christ means their life is in jeopardy. So you just be careful what sin that you invite into your life. Because that sin starts off like a little kitten. And it seems so needy. And it makes those little noises that make you want to pet it and hold it and feed it and look after it. And you maybe bring that little kitten home, not quite checking it out, and the next time you turn around to chasing it, it's grown into a lion and it tears your whole arm off. And that's just what it might cost for you to get out. The Lord said in Matthew 5, if your right hand offend you, cut it off. Cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and that not thy whole body should be cast into hell. That precious friend, that peaceful and tolerant individual that you hold close to your heart, as long as you do not make mention of God, could become your worst enemy when you stand up and disagree with them, because that's what God says. It has happened in many places. Over the years, over the decades, even in this town, I remember somebody telling me at one point that Gallia was actually a place where most of the local police used to live whenever they were in the town. And Gallia now tends to be quite a Republican anti-police park. We have been in it many times, putting many gospel tracts in through doors. And sadly, we have not had very much results. Muslims, whenever they begin to move into the neighbourhood, they are all very tolerant and friendly. But see, whenever they get into the majority, persecution is the order of the day. And before you know it, everybody else is forced out, and you have somewhere like Birmingham. And again, as we refer to the LGBT and whatever other alphabet soup of letters they want to add on, the LGBT movement, they have always spoke of peace and toleration. Oh, we're just poor, oppressed people that are slightly different to you. Try speaking out against them now, and they will grind you into dust. Even in Northern Ireland, whenever they were petitioning for civil unions, just for the same, The same, pretty much the same rights as a married couple. No, we'll never want marriage. We just want the civil union. And now they have marriage because that is the way sin works. That is the way unreasonable, self-serving things work. That's what sin is, self-serving. And now marriage has been foisted upon Northern Ireland, and woe betide mainland England because of it doing that and forcing us to kill our little children. They will grind everyone that disagrees with them into the ground. They will destroy utterly. There's even a man whose name escapes me just at this very moment in time, used to be quite prominent in the LGBT movement, and got out. And he even helps other people that want to get out, and he is hated and persecuted because of it. You've gone from dealing with the mild-mannered Dr. Jekyll, who's a good friend that will sit with you and drink tea and give you crumpets with jam and cream on them, if that's your wheelhouse, into the monstrous Dr. Jekyll that will rend and destroy anything that stands in his way. If sin were a person living in Derry, they would say he's got more faces than the Guildhall clock. It's not a good place to find yourself in a situation of compromise. In a situation where you have invested years and fortunes and even family members in a life that is countenance sin, where sin has got a grip. And I know of families where moms and dads have gotten saved later in life, and their children, they've lost their children. And it's not nice. But they're not lost from... They've turned their back on God, but they're not dead. And where there's life, there's hope. It may come as a complete shock, but you know what? If you're saved, you belong to God, and he can do with you as he wills. He can convict you in those nights when you lie awake in bed and wonder why your children don't love you and why they're involved in all manner of sin and this, that, and the other. God can still sort that out, but there's a cost. The very first thing you need to do, the Bible says, is to get back to God. Submit yourself to God. Down on your hands and knees. Just admit to him, God, you know what? You saved me years ago and I just went my own way. And I have made so many mistakes. I've made so many wrong decisions. I've even compromised my stand for you as I pursued riches and fame and glory in this world. I've been wrong. And whenever you ask for his help, God's not going to turn you away. He will help. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and then the devil will flee from you. And he's not fleeing from you. He's fleeing from God in you. And it may cost. I'm telling you, it may cost. It will cost if you find yourself in that situation. But you are far better walking with God with empty pockets on the straight and the narrow road and walk on the broad road that leads to destruction with your pockets and your belly full. You just need to keep your eyes on him. And not just keep your eyes on him, but actively pursue God in your life. Put your shoulder to the grindstone for the cause of Christ. And you will find that it's not really a loss at all. And in many cases, just like we were reading in Joel, you might even find a way to claw back the years the locusts consumed. And it's much easier on the mind. Because if you have to keep company with Dr. Jekyll, mild-mannered, tea-drinking, crumpet-eating Dr. Jekyll, by the fireside, knowing that any time the thing that's going to turn him into Mr. Hyde is the moment you speak about the thing that is foundational to you, that is most dear in your heart, even though you've forgotten it for a while, the Word of God, you will become a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde as well. You become two different people. A lost man to keep the lost people happy, and a saved man whenever you're in your bed at night. And that's no way to live. Matthew, I think it's Matthew chapter 11, the last few verses. The Lord said, come unto me. That's just a job of work. Come unto me, the Lord said, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. And that is what we really need. It's awful having to remember to be two or three different people depending upon the company you keep. I am glad that when you keep company with Christ, you can be yourself. You can be a child of the King of Kings. You don't have to be anything else, because Jesus Christ is never going to change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there is no shadow of turning with him. He still loves the lost, and he will withstand them. And he still loves the saved, and he will continue to provision them. Because Jesus is not a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. He's God Almighty that so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son for us. And that will never change. Sin will. And sin will tear strips off you. And people will. And people will tear strips off you. But Jesus Christ never will. Talks about him binding up the brokenhearted and healing the sick. And oh goodness, he loves us so much, and that will never change. So stick with him. Stick with him. I'm going to stop there. Thank you for your good time and attention. God bless you. We've got one more hymn that we would like to serenade you with this morning. And I hope it actually works out that way. This one is Onward Christian Soldiers, 412. 412 is Onward Christian Soldiers.
Christian soldiers, marching as to one.
again for your good time and attention. Whether it's today or tomorrow or whenever you're listening to this, I pray that it would be a help to you. Be careful of sin, but you never have to be careful of loving the Lord and trusting Him as your Savior. He wants what's very best for you, whereas sin just wants to promote itself and hates you. Anyway, we've already preached, we're going to pray, and then we're going to say goodbye until Sunday, till the Lord's Day. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the time we've been able to spend in your word, that we can still turn up at church, if not in the person, but definitely in spirit. Bless, Lord, the preaching and teaching of your word right the way across the world. Please help souls. Please save souls, and please edify the saints. We love you and thank you, Father. We pray for safety for all of those in our country and across the world, that, Lord, good sense and self-control and patience would prevail. And we ask all this, Lord, and we pray for your soon return. In the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. God bless you, folks. See you again soon.